was drifting out in sin. I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. He saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. He makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. He makes me glad. The way is bright, for he's the way, the truth, the light. He cheers me on when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Sing it. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. He'll save your soul and make you glad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Come on, sing it. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. When Jesus comes, the way is bright. For he's the way, the truth, the light. And he cheers me on when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, yes, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. On that first verse, when I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. Oh, but Jesus came and made me glad. Hallelujah. Dearest friend I ever had. Oh, yes, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget that day he came.
I hate to leave that music. I'll never forget the day he came. It was a day to be remembered when he took over my life and made me his own. You know, that's what the Lord does. He takes over your life and makes you his own. What could you ask for more wonderful than for the Son of the living God to take over your life and make you his own property? Now today, we're going to get into one of the great prophetic titles for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This title is the Rose of Sharon. The Rose of Sharon, a prophetic title for the Son of God. And we're going to talk about the crushing of that rose. That's the title of the program today. The crushing of that rose. The crushing of the rose. Now I want you to hear that. The crushing of the rose. The Rose of Sharon was crushed for your redemption, for you to be saved, for you to become a new creature, for you to be transformed by the grace of God, and to know this wonder and this joy of saving power. But he was crushed for your healing. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Now, I want us to understand that today. I want us to get down to the root of this great statement, this great truth. of the Rose of Sharon being crushed and being crucified and being whipped and beaten until the Bible could say, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes, by the wounds on his body, by the beating, the scourging, the flogging of his body, by the power of those whippings, by the power of that pain, by the power of the destruction of this great sacred body called Jesus Christ, both divine and human. The crushing of that body is virtue. It is powerful virtue. It is hope. It is supernatural virtue. It is virtue that reaches beyond human understanding and human grasp. And by those stripes and by that virtue, we are healed. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? There is no doubt about it. It's not an argument. It cannot be an argument unless you just don't believe the Bible. But by the stripes of Jesus, you, listening to me, anywhere on the face of this globe, all the way to the regions of China, all the way to the regions of the islands and the Indian Ocean, all the way to South Africa, all the way up into Ukraine, it doesn't matter where you are. If you have the right equipment, you're listening or watching Brother Chambers deal with this idea of the crushing of the rose. Now, I want to tell you something to remember. The Bible said he sent his word and healed us. He sent his word and healed us. You don't have to have my hands on your head. You don't have to have anointing with oil. We do both of those because the Bible says do them. We believe in them. You don't have to have a great prayer warrior who's been fasting for a few days to pray over you, and that's wonderful. That's absolutely a part of this whole business of divine healing. But if you will believe the Bible, he sent his word. So what is in the word is capable of healing you without anything beyond that except your faith. When you believe that by the word you are healed and you hear the word as I read them to you today and as I try to open up the word to you today, you can be healed. You can have a miracle anywhere in the world, anywhere listening to me, you can have a miracle. I love to pray for the sick, but I don't have to pray for you to be healed. You can be healed by hearing the word of God. It is really overwhelming. It's almost beyond human grasp that the healing power of Christ are so available and so real and so ready. I mean, all you have to do is make up your mind to trust him. Don't lean on the flesh, the arm of the flesh. Lean on the arm of the Holy One, the mighty Christ. Lean upon him and let him give you a miracle. Cancer is of no question to his healing power. Some massive stroke that someone has had is no power against divine healing. Wounds that you've had in your body, it don't really matter. Anything your body has need of, from destruction, from afflictions, from diseases, from attacks, Jesus is the healer. I trust him with all my heart. I trust him with all my heart, and I believe him with all of my heart. Now, let's go to the very background. You can go anywhere in the Bible. There are some scriptures earlier than this, but this would be considered at the kind of root of it all. You go to Isaiah 53. And that, you know, is reserved now in the Museum of the Scroll in Jerusalem. And you can look at that ancient book of Isaiah, and you can actually see scriptures like this. Absolutely, absolutely recorded. And they do match, by the way, the King James Bible, if nobody has told you that, and defend it. Let's go to Isaiah 53. And I want us to hear this. Because you can have a miracle while I'm reading. You can have a miracle while the Bible is being declared. Listen to this, Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. They rejected Christ. They despised him. They hated him. They hated him. The hatred of Donald Trump doesn't even compare to the hatred those Jewish people, leaders especially, had of the Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. a man of sorrows. He didn't have an easy life, friends. It wasn't a walk through the garden. It wasn't some existence in an ivory palace. He came into the midst of wickedness and sin. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And we hid, as it were, we did extreme him stricken of God and afflicted. Listen to this now. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They didn't esteem him. They didn't walk around talking about how great this Christ is. I will be reading in a moment John 19 and show you the kind of hatred that developed around this Christ, because he said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. There's no ifs, ands. He was the divine Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Oh, everything about him is absolutely grand. I am so grateful I'm his servant. I do not deserve to be his servant. Are you listening to me? There's not a one about you deserve. You didn't get this by desert or deserving. You got this because of his mercy. Because he reaches beyond our sins and reaches into the bottom of some wicked situation and redeems lost and dying men and makes them his own. And if you've never been redeemed, he wants you to be redeemed. It's not a matter of who, it's a matter of whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. So surely, now let me read, I got to get back. Let me read that verse 3 again. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Oh, I wish I could go back there and just scream out how much I love him right at that great day of his trial and his crucifixion, because he was everything wonderful that you can imagine. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely, truly, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You're carrying your sorrows, you don't have to. You're carrying your grief, you don't have to. There's one who has taken your grief and sorrows for you. He has borne them in your stead. He is your vicarious redeemer. I say vicarious because that means he took your guilt. He became guilty in your stead. He bore it for you, my wonderful friends. I'm telling you, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Now you got to hear those words, three words, smitten of God. He was smitten of God. You that don't believe in the Trinity, boy, you sure are helpless at this point. It was God the Father who crucified God the Son. It was God the Father in the heavenly realm that beheld his Son dying on that rugged cross. It was God the Father in the heavens who turned his head at a given point and for 3 hours would not look upon the breathtaking scene of his Son dying in trauma, in death of pain, in heartbreak of anguish, bearing the sins of an ungodly world that didn't deserve a thing he had to offer. Not a thing. You still don't deserve it, but it's yours by faith when you come to Christ. Now that verse 4 is overwhelming. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten. We do esteem him smitten of God, stricken and afflicted. Now look at verse 6. Wow. Look at now, verse 5. I'm sorry. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded for our transgressions. Now his wounds, I'll get to them in a minute. When I describe his wounds to you, if it don't make you shudder, I don't know what it takes to make you shudder. Because I'm telling you, he bore your wounds for you. He bore your pain for you. It was in great distress. It was in great sorrow that he bore your pains for you and took your place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Bruised. I mean beaten to a, I mean just horrible to think of how he was beaten. Let me read you a word that describes it up in Isaiah 52. It says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage, that's his outward appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah was saying nobody has ever been so marred as he was marred. His visage was marred. His visage was beaten beyond recognition. He was absolutely wounded beyond any measure of understanding. I mean, that's what he was bearing for you. And it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, your sins. Every time you lie, you're part of the bruising of the Son of God. Every time you fornicate, you're part of the bruising of the Son of God. Every time you get alcoholic overwhelmed, you're part of the bruising of the Son of God. Every sorrow, everything that goes wrong in your life, you've got to understand you are being, I'm talking about the wicked part, you are being part of his crucifixion. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. I'm reading you from the Holy Book. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. With his stripes, you got to understand those Roman whips. You got to understand three strings in each of those whips. And they were tied in the midst of that leather with bone and pieces of steel and anything that would cut and mar. The whole purpose of the scourging, according to what I'm read today, was to remove his skin from his body, to jerk the skin off of his hide, to jerk the skin off his backs and his arms and his legs and his front side. I mean, just to make him nothing but a standing picture of rags hanging off of bones. That's the best way I know to describe him. Rags hanging off of bones. You get what I'm saying to you? And I'm telling you that those stripes that jerked that hide off his bones was for your healing. So, trust me. Forgive me. Just give me a minute here. I've been trusting in that healing virtue for a long time. And how many times has he healed me? A few times he let me suffer a while just to understand, just to grow in my faith, just to prove that I was his, and that he didn't have to heal me for he to be his. If he never healed me again, I'm going to be his. If I never feel his virtue again, I'm going to be his. I belong to him because he deserves my total surrender above all measure. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Isaiah 53:5 now. Write it down in your book. Isaiah 53:5. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All that trouble and sorrow and heartbreak and heart pain and you know, you get hurt sometimes with words. You get hurt sometimes with accusations. You get hurt sometimes with people who forget any good that may rest in you. I mean, it's amazing to me how people can hate good people today. How they can hate people who live clean and pure and just try their best to give it all and yet hate it. That's okay. That's okay. This is just a little short life. It'll be over shortly and we'll be on the winning side. You have to forgive me. I feel his Holy Ghost as real as it can be. Reaching out by his word, you are healed. Let me say that again and again. Right now, by the words you are hearing, you can be healed. If you claim them and you get on top of them and you stand in them, you can be healed right while I'm talking. I'm claiming healing. My eyes have been getting weaker. My ears weaker at 83. I guess that's normal. Maybe that's not something ought to be healed, but I want it to be, and I'm asking him to heal. I want these ears working again full steam. I want these eyes working again full steam. I really do. But if he doesn't make them perfectly whole as I would like, I'm going to serve him with all I got. I'm going to live for him with everything in my being. I'm going to be his. Now, this is just too good to stop. I know. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen to that. All we like sheep have gone astray. How many of you out there, right? You're astray right now. You're off in a world of sin and self and worldliness, and you don't even feel it. I'm talking to you, friend. I'm talking to you, dear lady, dear teenager, dear daddy. Listen, stop where you're at and listen. Stop your car beside the road and get on your face out beside the car on the dirt and repent of your old dirty sins and all the grief you brought to him and all the sorrow you've heaped upon him. Ask him to forgive you. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it willingly and gladly and turn your life upside down and you'll never be the same. Hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I got to read on a minute here. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Hey, can you hear that? I got to take a minute there. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't hang there screaming at his enemies. He didn't hang there saying, look what you're doing to me. He didn't hang there crying out, I'm the Son of God. You're killing the Son of God. He just hung there and bore that grief. Hallelujah with all of his being. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? I'm declaring it. I'll tell you what. Now, here's something I really want you to hear. And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. Remember, he died on the cross with two thieves on either side, saved one of them. And then a rich man came and begged his body and buried him in his own sepulcher. But I want you to know who did this. The Jews didn't do this. And the Romans didn't do this. Do you understand? You say, I know them Jews, them hateful Jews. Well, they're sinners just like you are or were, you know. We all are sinners. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So listen to me. Yet it pleased the Lord, this is the Father, to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise his son. You say, Brother Chambers, don't you accuse God of this. I'm accusing the Father God, who sits on the throne of God in heaven. I'm accusing him by the Bible that he pleased to put Jesus to death, but he did it only because he loved you. He did it because there was no other hope for you. There was no other way out of your dilemma. There was no other possibility of you ever being redeemed, much less healed. But the Father was pleased to crucify him. My Father, the great God Jehovah, the most wonderful Heavenly Father that could exist, the great God, pleased to crucify his son because there was no other hope. He did it because no one could redeem you but part of his own family, part of his own shed blood, part of his own divine being. It had to be somebody like God, somebody kin to God, the only begotten Son of God. The Holy Ghost couldn't do it. The Father couldn't do it, but the Son could. And the Father gave his Son. Are you listening to me? The Father gave his Son. I'm spending too long here, but I can't seem to get away from it. I want to get this message out. I want to lift him up because the Bible says if I lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. And I'm begging, praying, believing right now for God the Father to draw sinners to the cross. Whew. Hallelujah, to draw sinners to the cross and to save their never dying soul so that they don't have to spend eternity in a lake of fire. I pray for my precious loved ones that may be lost. I pray for your precious loved ones that may be lost. I'm reaching out with everything inside of me. Oh, I pray that we're all the way around this globe, nothing being hindered because it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to put him to death. It pleased God when thou shalt make his soul. God the Father made his soul an offering for sin. God took his only begotten son and hung him there to dry, hung him out to dry on that cross to redeem you because he loves you. What a God. What a God. All the gods of this world are nothing but fictitious lies. But the God Jehovah is the God Jehovah forever. He is the sovereign one. He is the almighty one. And he is the loving one. And he reaches to your soul right while I'm talking today. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made him to be grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of God is manifest in the hands of the Christ, who has been crucified, who has bled and died, who has risen from the dead. Here, but next verse says, of God, says God, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I think I can say that when Jesus was hanging on that cross and dying, that God the Father must have sat up on the edge of his throne and held both hands into the air and say, thank God, I see the travail of my son. And I know what the result of that travail is, multiplied millions, washed in the blood, saved by the redeeming power, healed by the matchless authority, made wonderfully whole by all the beauty of heaven. Father, God, make yourself real to all this crowd listening to me now. Oh, may somebody come to know him today. May somebody get on their knees somewhere and say, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my transgressions. You died for me, and now I'm ready to die for you. Are you ready to die for him? Are you ready to die for him? I am. Absolutely ready to die for him. If somebody don't like this program and they stick a gun in the window beside me and end my life, I'm going to heaven in a streak of lightning. I'll be there so quick the wicked man won't even realize what he's done. What a day that's going to be. He shall see the travail of the soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous servant justify many. That's Jesus, the righteous servant, just about many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, I tell you what, I hate to stop here. I've spent 25 minutes just giving you a picture of him who died on the tree for you and showing you what the Father had to say. The foundation of his death is right here in Isaiah 53. The foundation of his death. Now, I got to take you because I don't want to miss going to a most important part, and that in the book of John, if you want to go with me, 19, the book of John, 19. I want us to see a little bit here about his scourging. I want you to understand the scourging. See, when they beat Jesus in the hall of Pilate, I think, I don't know this, the Bible don't say it, but I think they meant to kill him. But the truth of it is, he was the Son of God. Nobody could kill him. He could have stood there until there was nothing but a pile of flesh and bones, and there had been a heart beating right in the middle of that pile, and he'd still been alive. Are you hearing me? That's just, his life was divine. He couldn't be killed by man. I mean, I'm here to tell you, if there was nothing but a pile of flesh and bones, broken all to pieces, piled in a mist there in the hall of Pilate, there'd have been a heart somewhere in the middle of it beating, and it would have been beaten for you. It would have been crying out for you and declaring God's love for your soul. If you go to hell, you got to walk over top of all of this. If you spend eternity in a lake of fire, you got to go over top of all of this and bury your soul in sin. Well, I got to talk about the scourging, because divine stripes is how you are healed. You understand? Divine stripes. This Son of God, being beaten as he was, produced a virtue. A mighty supernatural virtue. And that virtue was specifically for healing. Now, other parts of this death was for salvation, but stripes were for healing. He did not have to be beat in the hall of Pilate. He could have been taken straight to the cross and crucified. But he had to fulfill all the scripture, and he had to be beaten. He had to be striped. His flesh had to be ripped from his body. He had to be made nothing but a picture of rags hanging there on flesh and on bone. But he did it because he wants you to be healed. Don't ever tell me you can't be healed. Don't tell me I'm too sick to be healed. Don't tell me I've been too sinful to be healed. Don't tell me nothing is an excuse. You can be healed. I said, you can be healed. I have been healed too many times. I'm 83, going on 84, and I'm telling you, the healing virtue of the Son of God is mighty. I'm reaching out now. I want somebody to be healed all over my audience. I think I should stop right now and ask for miracles of healing. Ask for miracles, triumphant, supernatural, matchless, mighty miracles of healing. I command that cancer to disappear. I command that tumor to vanish from that face, from that part of the body where it lodges. I command the power of that heart attack to be diminished and defeated and to be broken. I command those powers of affliction, that crippled man, that crippled woman, that crippled little girl, that blind little lady, that blind little child, that blind adult. I claim healing, virtue, healing, like a river passing right through those bodies out there. I want to hear one call after the other. I was healed while you were praying. I was healed while you was praying. I'm telling you, the healer is in the house right now, in the house. On this communication systems that I'm using, radio, internet, Facebook, and whatever it may go out on, I'm claiming healing right now while you're sitting there. Let virtue flow through your body. Let virtue course its way from your head to your toes. He's able by his word. He sent his word and healed us. Did you hear that? That's the Bible. He sent his word. And I got to get to this question. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now, that's verse 1 of John 19. Then Pilate took Jesus, therefore, and scourged him. Now, I want to talk about scourging. A flogging. Flog, I hope I'm saying that right. A flogging. Now, these whips, according to what I read today, has three leather strips, you know, going out from them with a handle where the strong Roman soldier could hold them and could put all the energy of maybe 300 pounds right in that whip as it come lashing down upon the Son of God. And there was steel and bones and whatever was sharp tied into those steels at different knots so that one whip could make maybe at least three, maybe even six, maybe even nine lashes. Even nine lashes. And then there was one tied on the end of it that was like a hook that would hook itself in some part of the body. And this was called, in what I read, a scorpion. A scorpion at the end of the whip. And you would hit a person with that whip and then give it a jerk probably. I don't know. I wasn't there. But give it a jerk and it would just rip, maybe grab a rib and pull it out of its socket. Who knows what all it could do? In fact, when they had finished, from what I can hear and read, they had to stop occasionally to keep him from dying because they were not supposed to kill the victim. The victim was to die hanging on a cross, nailed in their hands and their feet up on the cross in the air as a mockery so that they could shame them to the end of their being. And so they had to not kill them. And so they would come to a point when death looked imminent and back off. Let the person regain some energy and some strength and some breath. And then they dive in again and beat and beat and beat. And that's how the Son of God was done for your healing. And you deny it. And you don't want it. And you don't claim it. And so many people, since I've been sick about 10, 11 weeks, and I've had so many people look at me and almost feel sorry for me because I've not been to a doctor. And I've not been into a hospital. Well, they kill babies until they're 9 months now. And old folks are being euthanized. I don't know that I trust it. But I do know I trust him. And if he's ready for me to go, I'm sure ready to go. I'm telling you, well, here I am just laying it on you and telling you I love you and reaching out to you because he was scourged for you. He was scourged for you. And please don't feel sorry for me. I don't want to hear another word of sorrow for me. I'm trusting in the Lord. And I'm already within that much of being healed, maybe down that small now. I mean, God is my helper. And God is my healer. And a lot of pain, but a lot of joy. A lot of pain, but a lot of confidence. I believe in him. Oh, do I believe in him? I got to read on. I want you to get a picture of this. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Now, while the Son of God is there, and they're going to beat the daylights out of him and scourge him, they go get a bunch of old thorns and make a crown out of them and press them. Can you imagine a crown of thorns being pressed right down now on my head? And you would see it go into every place, and blood would begin to come out at all kinds of points and dribble down my face, across my eyes. And he couldn't even wipe the eyes of the blood as he was being beaten and being flogged to death. What a beating. And the soldiers planted the crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. A purple robe was put around him. And they said, they're yelling now, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And they would do that by smiting him. And with a smote up on his body, smacking him in the face, any way they could. It says they slapped him with their hand, or they smote him with their hands. I mean, they really hated him. This was a vicious bunch of Roman soldiers, probably demon-possessed, because they chose the most wicked and probably the most brutal to do these kind of things. Pilate therefore went forth and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." How about that? Oh, Pilate, that wicked guy, that wicked man. He says, "I don't find no fault in him." I mean, he didn't see nothing wrong with him. Well, there wasn't nothing wrong, except he was dying for the sin of the world. Then came forth Jesus wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Now, can you imagine? Listen to that. Behold the man. Can you imagine? Jesus has been scourged. He looks like a death warmed over. And he walks into where Pilate is. I guess the soldiers brought him to appear. And he says to all these people around, "Behold the man. Behold the man." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Behold the man. I love that. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Well, there was no fault in him. The Son of the living God was bleeding and dying to save you from your wicked ways and your godless life. And your adulteries, the wives that have been left by husbands to grieve and to try to raise children without a man to pay the bills, and the wife bearing those children with all of her heart. Oh, friend, you got to hear me. There's enough sin out there to drive this world insane, and it don't get better. It gets worse. And I preach to you the Jesus, and I'm praying that people are turning right now to the Christ. I want to open the lines because I want to answer questions about the crucifixion and the scourging of Christ. I want to answer questions about why he was crucified and how God the Father chose to do it, because there was nobody else any kin to him. He had one son, one only begotten son. And he alone of the lineage and blood kin of the Father could inherit the great promises that God had in his great Bible. And so the Son of God died and took your sins and redeemed you. And you may go to hell, but you'll go to hell having been redeemed, but having refused your redemption. See, his redemption was for every living soul. I mean, the redemptive power is all there. There's not an ounce of it that has been lost or has dissipated in the hundreds and thousands of years since the death on the cross. It's still as mighty and as powerful as it's ever been. And right now, he'll save you. Would you turn to him? Would you get on your face and turn to him? Would you quit your hypocritical living? You church members that don't have it, you just go to church and sit on the pew and you don't really live it, and you bear no burden for nobody lost. You haven't cried your way to sleep with a living soul that you know that's lost. You're just comfortable in your sins. Well, you're not really comfortable in sins. There's no way to be comfortable in sin. Anybody in sin is bearing misery. They may deny it and try to overshade it and drink it down with a bottle of alcohol or take enough drugs or do enough wickedness to try to overcome it, but it's still there. It'll be there when you wake up. It'll be there when you come to yourself tomorrow. It'll be there when you wake up in the morning with a headache and a backache and a heartache. It'll be right there, your same sins. And the offer for salvation will still be real. The offer for salvation will still be real. Please grab your phones now. 704. Let me put that number up. I want you to call me right now. I want you to call me right now. Would you please? I want you to call me. There's the number. 704-391-0588. I got an 800 number in case you have a landline you can use. If you're in another country, you can call 011 and still get through. And I'd love to talk to somebody in any place of the face of this earth and teach you the way of Christ and help you come to know his saving love. I felt the Holy Ghost so real here today. I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm overwhelmed by healing virtue. We've been on our face here for months now, early every morning, except rare occasions. And I promise you, we are believing for the sovereign move of awakening, a sovereign revival. We began revival with Brother Boggs, Brother Davy Boggs, 2 weeks from tonight. That's 2 weeks from tonight, the 17th. We begin a revival with Brother David. I hope you'll be here. And that's tomorrow night. I'm sorry. I hope you'll be here during that week, 2 weeks from tonight, beginning on the 17th. If you have Facebook, you've seen it on my Facebook page. Send it to somebody, will you? Send it to somebody. And let's get people here who are lost and get them saved. Now, I want your number. I want your call. I want to answer questions. I really want to spend a while now right here answering questions. So grab your phone and call me real quickly, please. We're talking about the crushing of the rose. The crushing, how this rose of Sharon was crushed. I mean, I have made it as vivid as I know how to make it. Now, the lines are open. I'm going to give you a wonderful article all about this. The crushing of the rose, the name of the article, and it's yours. We'll mail it to you. We'll mail it to you if you'll simply call free. Anybody that calls, we have secretaries always. I think there's one today here to answer the phones. So you may have to wait a minute if you call. But grab your phone. I want to answer some questions. Do you understand how he was scourged? Do you have any questions about me making it as vivid as I've tried to make it? I want you to see the depth of it. I want you to see just how serious it really is. That he bore your sins for you. And he was wounded for your transgressions. I got more scripture. I'm ready to read if you don't call. I got plenty. Oh, I want to go to Psalms 103. And I'm going to do that while I'm waiting on you. 704-391-0588. Would you call? Do you want to call? Do you have a question? I find that people anymore are not much for calling and asking questions about the Bible. I mean, they can ask questions about politics and every kind of thing you can imagine. But the Bible, it's the living book. It's the majestic book. It's the book of books. It's the book of books. I'm looking to hear from you. I'd love to have your calls. But while you're calling, I'm going to get right on into the Bible. The book of Psalms. The psalmist David was one of the most prolific writers. He wrote, over 1,000 songs. Over 1,000 songs. Many psalms, they are just et up with beautiful words and statements and things. And so I want to read to you from this Psalm Division 103. This is a highlight for me. I quote this all the time. And I want to read it to you and talk about it. Bless the Lord. I'm sorry. Bless the Lord. Let me take a call here. It's such a joy to talk to anybody on the radio. It really is. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
I'm now.
Wait a minute. Start all over.
I'm afraid to die.
You're thanking God.
Yes. I'm afraid of death.
Hallelujah. He died for you, didn't he?
Yes.
Are you saved?
I don't know.
Oh, God bless your heart, dear lady. I thank you for calling. Tell me how long you've been a Christian.
I was raised in the church.
But at some point you were born again.
I prayed many millions of times to accept Christ as my Savior.
Okay. All right. I pray that God is real to you and that he'll continue to help you grow, okay? Go read the book of John the next few days and just ask to see Jesus in that book. Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
All right, the book of John, and just ask to see Jesus as you read that great book. God bless you, dear lady. Thank you for calling. Sound like a real sweetheart lady that really does care. And there are many wonderful ladies and gentlemen out there that really do care. I'm taking a moment. I'd love to talk to you. The question of the rose. I mean, this ought to be a subject that you never forget. You ought to never forget this program. You ought to never forget the truth of how the rose of Sharon, the great prophetic statement, the rose of Sharon, was crucified and crushed to death for you. Now, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And I'm going now to Psalms Division 1, Division 103. Sorry for that. Division 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Listen to that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Would everybody out there right now, for what you've heard today, just stop and bless the Lord. All that is within you, bless the Lord and praise his holy name. His holy name. What a God we serve. Then verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have you ever stopped and think of the many benefits that a Christian gets when they surrender to Christ? I'm amazed at the benefits. I'm amazed at the things that I have right now. Benefits for serving the Lord. See, it's been since 1952 for me. It's been 67 years. This is the month. Hey, I hadn't thought about that. The month of March, 1952, I was converted. Hey, I'm celebrating 67 years right now as a child of God. Thank you for reminding me of that something. You know, hadn't thought about being my birth month, the month I was born into the kingdom. Not my birth month physically, but my birth month spiritually. Saved in March 1952. An old country boy carried by some friends that lived on the farm with us, sharecroppers, carried with them to church to visit a revival. A preacher got up, you know, and preached the gospel message, and I headed down to that altar, and I was so transformed, I couldn't believe myself. I mean, he just turned me upside down, wrong side right. I mean, and made a new man out of me. It was a blessed moment. Tell me about you getting saved, would you? I mean, how about somebody that's been healed? Call it and saying, I have been healed. It is real. Let me have a few calls of people who have been healed, and you know that being healed is really real. Could I get a call from somebody and tell me that? I'm leaving that name up there because I want it to rest in your mind that you never forget the crushing of the rose. You never forget how Jesus was smitten, scourged, flogged. I mean, almost destroy it. It's pitiful to think about. Pitiful to think about. Pitiful to think about. Anybody out there has been healed? Nobody out there has been healed. I can testify of several healings. I remember a woman with a garter on her neck, and God removed it. I remember people had cancer, and God healed them. I remember so many different wonderful miracles. He's a miracle worker. He's as real right now as he's ever been. He'll heal you right now. What do I say? What did I say? He sent his word and healed us. And I've been believing people to be healed right while I've been talking. And I'm looking for your call. I don't understand. I've been on here 45 years. Everywhere I go, people tell me they're listening. They love it. I mean, really, a big, huge number of people who hear this program. It is a multitude of people. But people don't call radio for the Bible anymore. Are you ashamed of the Bible? Are you ashamed to be identified as a Bible believer? Are you ashamed of this walk with Christ? Do you not have anything about the Bible that intrigues you that you can shout with me about it? I mean, you can just call and say, hallelujah, for the truth, I can be healed. I can be healed, and you can be healed, and I believe in it. And I believe in it. I really do. With all my heart, I believe in it. And you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I'm just calling to say that God has healed me 5 times of cancer and 3 stomach operations not related to cancer. Mm. I know that he heals. He's healed me all those 5 times of ovarian cancer, 2 melanomas, and 3 breast cancers.
The devil's been after you, lady.
Yes, ever since I was 3 months old. Because
you know, I believe cancer is absolutely a spirit of affliction from Satan.
Yes, I agree.
There may be some possibilities of it just being physical, but as a whole. In fact, every disease is a work of Satan. Had it not been for the death, for the sin of man in Adam and Eve, there would never been a sickness. There had never been a disease. There had never been a cancer. There had never been a heart attack. All of it came from sin.
I believe that. And the devil's tried to deceive me to think I've done something wrong, which I have in the past, for I fully surrender to the Lord. And I know that he has a purpose in all of this, and I trust it. And every time I've had cancer, I've never been afraid, because I know he's in control, and I know that he has a plan, and I have surrendered it to him to do what he wanted to, because he sees the big picture, I don't, and I trust him with whatever he wanted to do with me at those times.
Keep trusting God, lady. Keep trusting God. He is trustworthy. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I wish we'd hear more people that you've been healed. Where are all the people? I mean, it used to be when I got saved in 52, there was constantly altar calls just to pray for the sick. And people would get healed of all kinds of things. And probably some of the oldest people that's ever lived to be really old was because they were healed. They were healed. They allowed Jesus to do his wonderful work in them. He is the healer. I'm telling you, he is the healer. Now, if you want to call, we'd love to have you. It would be my joy. I mean, we're here to be a blessing to you. We're here to help you grow in the Lord. Our only desire is that you might have everything that the Lord has. Now, I'm going to go back to reading this until the calls come. I'm sorry. Let me read this again. Start at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget all his benefits. That's where I ended a while ago, excitingly. Who forgiveth all our iniquities. Who healeth all our diseases. Who healeth all our diseases. Are you hearing me? He heals. It says A-double-L. You believe in all? How many believe all means all? Who healeth all our diseases. I love that. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life. I have believed all this winter that the devil meant to destroy me. The devil meant to make this my last winter and my last few months. I've really suffered. But I'm here to tell you, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Woo! Hallelujah. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Listen to this. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Now look at this verse. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. So that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. Now, what I'm doing right now is I'm trusting for my youth to be renewed because I want 10 more years on Open Bible Dialogue. If Jesus tarries, 10 more years on Open Bible Dialogue. Is there anybody out there who will listen to me for 10 more years? I'm finding more and more that older people who die, their children will send us a little note that says, Mama is dead. Please discontinue this address. Mama is dead. Or Daddy has passed. Please discontinue this address. There is a multitude of the younger generation, of the younger millennials, of the younger crowd who want nothing to do with old-time religion. They want nothing to do with Christianity. But that's going to change. If it don't change before the rapture, it will change after the rapture. Because when people wake up and realize they have missed the rapture and they're here for 7 years of hell, I'm telling you there'll be a lot of folks who will be sick to the core. The saddest day in human history will be the day after the rapture. The saddest day in human history will be the day after the rapture. Friend, you just don't know how it's going to be, how bad it's going to be. Now, I got 10 minutes. I sure would like some calls. I got more scripture. But I do want to remind you, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. Look at me, and you can see a man being renewed in the power of Jesus Christ. Being renewed in the power of Jesus Christ. But it's not just for me. It's for you. It's really for you. Oh, I tell you, it's a joy to know the Lord. There is so much good in this wonderful faith of Christ. Now, I'm going to take you to one more scripture. First Peter. You know the name Apostle Peter. Nobody would forget that sweet name. Apostle Peter. Be sober. Well, that's the wrong verse, not the one I'm supposed to be reading. Hallelujah. Here it is. If any man speak, let him speak. Well, what am I doing here today? All right, now I'm here. I was wrong pages. Who is own self bear my sins. Who his own self bear our sins in his body. This is Peter. This is Peter some years after Jesus had been crucified. Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. On the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Who his own self by our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's what he did for. That's what he died for, to make you free of the power of sin, to set you free to live a godly and a holy life, to give you a new life, a new walk with God, a new joy, a new satisfaction. That's why he died. But it doesn't end there. Let me read that part again. Whose own self by our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Whose own self by our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And you're on the air.
Davidson led by as many as 16.
You're on the air.
Luka Brankovich leading the way with 13 points on 6.
Well, somebody is playing the ball game. We're not interested in the ball game. All right, let me see if I can find if I'm on the wrong line. I was. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Preacher Chambers. This is Linda Boggs.
Hey, Linda.
Hey. And I have been healed. I was healed of cancer when I was 39 years old. And the Lord has healed me many times since. He's healed my son. And I'm so glad today to speak up for Jesus. And the chapter that you wrote in Psalms that you read today, I read every day because we can never thank him for all of his blessings.
Hasn't he been good to us?
And I love you. And I'll never forget your precious dear wife. I talked to her many times, and she's prayed with me. And I love her. I know she's in heaven today, and she prayed with me many times.
You know, I miss Juanita as much today as I ever did. I told God yesterday I was praying in the altar, and I said, Father, send an angel over wherever sister my Juanita is and tell her how much I love her. Remind her that Joseph doesn't forget her and that he loves her. And I'm sure the angel did that. I really do miss her bad. But I loved her, and she was a wonderful woman.
Yes, sir. She was a sweet woman. I do too, Preacher Chambers. I ask God to tell my mother and daddy, my brothers and sisters, and my niece and my loved ones, I love them too.
How old are you now?
I'm 72, March the 24th, if I live.
You mean I am,
22.
I'm 6 years older than you?
Yes, sir, but you don't seem like it, so.
I'm just kidding you.
And I love your preaching, always have, love you, and just pray for God to bless you every day in your ministry and your people.
I need a lot of prayer because the enemy hates a man that sticks with it as long as I've stuck with it. I mean, there are people that want me dead so bad. If it was legal, they'd take it in their own hands. But they're not going to be able. They got to pass the angels. I get amazed at how angels are around me. I get amazed at when I have a need. Suddenly, I'm aware that there's a presence right there with me. I am aware of it all the time. And it's just so real to know that I really am in the Lord's hands. I drive my car, and I have so many beautiful times that I can see how the Lord took care of me and kept me. And so I'm trusting in him. And you keep trusting him, Linda.
Sir, and you keep me in your prayers, and I'll keep you in mine. And God's going to bless, and I pray there's others. Chambers, the Lord spoke to me. I wasn't going to call you, but the Lord spoke to me and told me to call you, and I had to get up and go get my phone because I was sitting right here listening to you. I know God is in this call, and I want to claim his healing, and I do claim his healing. My son's got cancer in his kidneys, but that cancer don't go. God, they went in there twice, and froze it, and God's going to put his hands on it, and I rebuke that devil off of him in the name of Jesus. Like you said, cancer is...
You are a warrior, Sister Linda. You keep up fighting, okay?
Yes.
Knowing you praying for me makes me even more comfortable that I have nothing to fear. I love you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, call us quickly. We have time for maybe one more. Good calls. I love it. I love waking people up. It's like you got to wake them up anymore to call. We got lines that are busy. And if you need you need material, I'd love to send you this. Everybody out there ought to have this. And on the Internet, of course, it's on the Internet. For anybody that has an Internet, just go to paulcreek.org. Paulcreek.org. You'll have this sermon. You can even see me. I'm not sure that's very good for some people. But and Facebook all over the globe, and it's archived in both Facebook and Internet. And I'm going to put this sermon also on YouTube. This has got to go on YouTube immediately. We just got to get this message out there. The question of the rose. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The question of the rose. Oh, I love that thought. I'm going to leave it up there because it just says what this is all about. He was crushed for you. He was crucified for you. He died in your stead. He died because he cares about you. He died because he loves you. He has a special blessing laid up for every one of his children, loving kindness and tender mercies. And he gives us good things so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. My, what blessings we have. What good things come to us. Now, you remember that scourging, the scourging of Christ, was one of the most diabolical things that could ever happen to anybody. I mean, he was beaten in an inch of his life, ripped the skin off his body. Remember that scorpion, they say, that's tied to the end of a Roman whip that just digs in like a hook and grabs something and jerks it from the person's body. I mean, he looked like nothing but rags standing there when he appeared after his beating. And Pilate said, "Behold the man. Behold the man. I say to you today, behold the man." I'm saying to you today, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, behold the man. Behold the man. I got another minute here, so I don't want to waste no time. I could take a call, but I can tell you that Jesus loves you. If you go to hell, you got to walk over top of everything I've said today. If you go to hell and spend eternity in that lake of fire, it's because you rejected the crucified one. You rejected all that love and all that passion, all that pain. You reject the Father who loved you so much that he gave his son and had his son crucified and watched his son until he couldn't watch no longer. Maybe he never watched, but he turned his head and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Father could stand no more. The Father could stand no more. What a Savior, what a God, what a Lord, what a faith, what a wonderful faith. Do you understand how wonderful this faith is, my brothers and sisters, my friends out there? Probably many of you don't know the Lord. I want to tell you, I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for the lost. I weep for the lost, Father. I've been shedding a lot of tears for unsaved people. I don't have to know their name. I'm weeping for the lost. I want them to know the Christ. I want them to be born again. I want them to know his crucified love, his wonderful mercy. I want you to know how much he cares for you. How much he reaches to you, how much he wants you to know all this wonderful love and this wonderful grace. He cares about you. I'm praying for you. I promise you, I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. Listen now. I love you.
Heal and forgive. He lived and died. My Savior lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone. Oh,
that you can see.
Because he lives, I can face.